Race is a social construct, and if you don't agree with that, then you are a shitty person. You are ultimately a racist. You are attempting to introduce patriarchy and white hegemony. You are attempting to cause the road to the Holocaust, and I hope your children die in a car accident! Racist jokes. Priceless, priceless. They totally do that. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about in more detail the fact that all left-wing people are liars and hypocrites. I have looked at this before, of course, with reference to a number of different books and articles, but I have discovered two very interesting things recently, a book and an article, which demonstrate this in even more detail. And so I would like to tell you about it. Now, the first is a very interesting book that was published called Everybody Lies, Big Data, New Data, and What the Internet Can Tell Us About Who We Really Are, by Seth Stevens Davidovitz. Now, this is actually extremely interesting. And what it does is it compares polls and things, you know, what people say they believe, what people say they are going to do, with what Google tells people or tells analysts that they are going to do. And of course, there is a big difference. And what the book shows is that Google is a much better predictor of what people are going to do and of how they really behave than what they tell polls. Now, this is for better or worse, of course, because it is really rather dangerous that we permit so much of our information, so much of our own deepest private thoughts to be placed on Google and saved there, such that the people that work for Google can analyse this data. They can analyse the data in relation to what area of a country the words are put into Google in. They can analyse the data with reference to where you live. They can analyze, I mean, there's probably a degree to which they know who you are, and the data could perhaps one day be leaked, which would be very, very nasty. But obviously what has happened is that there's a huge amount of data that people have voluntarily put into Google, and this tells analysts a great deal about how they behave and what they think. And this, of course, is a better predictor of what you really think than what you say you think, because what the book shows is that we know ourselves the least well of anybody, really. Jordan Peterson, of course, in his book Rules for Life, shows that people will say, "Oh yeah, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist." But his counter argument is, "Well, no, you're not. The way you live your life shows that really you believe your life has eternal significance. You believe you have free will. You believe that your life is going somewhere. And if you don't believe that, well, why don't you just kill yourself? Why do you bother to have children? Why do you behave in all these ways which are consistent with you believing that life isn't just about living, eating and be merry for tomorrow we die? Why do you do these things which imply that you believe life has eternal significance? Really, you don't believe in God. You do believe in God. You may not know that you believe in God. You may not think that you believe in God. You may not feel that you believe in God. But when your behaviour is actually analysed, then deep down it is obvious that you do. And at certain moments in your life, that comes through and you kind of realise it, but you put it away again. And this is true with Google. Now, one of the things that's very interesting about this is when he looks at how people are at voting behaviour. So in the 2016 election, for example, people would say, "Oh yeah, I am going to vote Democrat. I'm going to vote Democrat." And they would say that such that the polls would believe that they would vote Democrat. Now, why would they say that? Well, because there's all kinds of effects which are going to make you want to say that you're going to vote Democrat. So first of all, if you're interviewed over the phone, in person, then you want to come across as a nice person to the person that interviews you, and you will think that you will do that by saying that you will vote Democrat. So you will say that you will vote Democrat. If you're interviewed over the phone, okay, you're anonymous, so this is slightly more reliable, but even so, you want to come across as nice and kind to the person, and so you will say that you will vote Democrat, and so therefore the polls will say that you will vote Democrat. You might even convince yourself that you are going to vote Democrat. So you're not even lying. Like, in the moment that you're saying it, that you're going to vote Democrat, you really think you are going to vote Democrat, because you can be more persuasive with a lie if you actually believe it yourself. Kevin MacDonald calls this effortful control. You can force yourself to believe something such that you're more persuasive in believing it and so that you get on better socially. But this doesn't actually mean that deep down you really believe it. Now, the result of that, of course, is what's called cognitive dissonance. It's that a person can trigger you by confronting you with information about yourself which you don't really want to know, which you're trying to hide and you're trying to repress, and you can become terribly, terribly angry as a result because there is a mismatch between what you want to be the case about yourself and what actually is the case about yourself. But this is how these kinds of lies develop. Now, in reality, of course, when you come to voting, you've changed your mind again, your deepest beliefs come through and you vote Republican. This does not come across in the polls, and this is one of the reasons why Trump's win in 2016 was so unexpected. But what he argues in the book is that if you look at the data from Google, then Google would have predicted that this would have happened. So, for example, a lot of black people that were interviewed were saying, yeah, I'm going to vote. And of course, implicitly, I'm going to vote Democrat. In reality, they look at the Google searches in heavily black areas of terms like where to vote, how to vote. And that indicates that, no, the voting turnout is going to be low among black people, which is what is the case. A second thing that they look at is people are saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. But what they look at in Google is if you Google the names of the two candidates, it's if you the one you Google first. So if it was, for example, Obama Romney, if you Google it like that, Obama Romney, then they show that the likelihood is you're going to vote for Obama. Whereas if you Google Romney Obama, the likelihood is you're going to vote for Romney. And what they showed based on that is that people were saying, yeah, I'm going to vote for Clinton, but of course they voted for Trump. And that is consistent with the fact that they would Google in these areas where the Trump vote was higher than expected, they would Google Trump Clinton rather than Clinton Trump. The Google is able to pick up on what we genuinely believe rather than what we say we believe. And the book goes in a tremendous amount of detail, all kinds of things. How often you have sex, for example. Men in surveys, in anonymous surveys, in order to kind of lie to themselves almost and convince themselves that they have more sex than they have, will over-exaggerate the amount of sex that they have. Whereas if you use the Google data, then you get a much more accurate understanding of how little sex these people have. The average amount of sex that people have according to these polls is simply wrong. It's exaggerated. The number of sexual partners that people claim to have, again, is not consistent with what people Google in terms of the information that can be gleaned from what people put into Google. So Google gives you, you judge people by what they do, not by what they say, or rather judge people by what they say into Google, not what they say in real life. It's what they say into Google, it's what they say into the Oracle, which counts. And that allows much more accurate predictions to be made. It would be interesting in this time of debate over the election result in America to look in the key areas that are under dispute, whether people on average were more likely to Google first Trump Biden or Biden Trump, and how frequently they were likely to Google where to vote and things like that, because that would perhaps give some kind of indication of who you would actually expect to win and whether actually there was fraud. Now, the thing that was interesting about the Liberals, which he looks at in this book, is the Googling of, well, I can't say it on here because it's YouTube, but the Googling of a word that rhymes with digger. And the Googling of a word that rhymes with digger and looking for specifically digger jokes, looking for racist jokes. Now, what you would predict based on stereotypes and even based on survey data is that people that live in the southern states of America and the more Republican states of America are more racist and more inclined to find racist jokes funny and more inclined to have racist attitudes than people that live in the northern states of America or people that live in the Democrat states of America. And what he shows in this book, according to the data from Google, is that simply isn't true. The highest searches for in the wake of Obama being elected in 2008, there was a huge spike in searches for racist jokes, and the highest searches for these were in places like New York State, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois. But also in places that would be stereotypically associated with racism, such as West Virginia, such as Louisiana, such as Mississippi. But overall, there was no difference between whether you live in a Republican area or whether you live in a Democrat area with regard to how frequently there were searches for these racist jokes involving this word that rhymes with digger. And so what that is showing you, what it's strongly implying anyway, is that people who are liberal, people who are Democrat, are hypocrites. They enjoy a racist joke involving a word that rhymes with digger as much as anybody else does, but they just don't admit it. Whereas the people in the southern states or in the Republican states, are prepared to admit it. They are, in a sense, more honest. They are more in touch with who they really are. They better understand who they really are, or they are more open about who they really are. Whereas the liberals put up this front, put up this facade of being anti-racist, of being egalitarian, of being equalitarian and whatever. But their behaviour patterns and their desires, as expressed in Google, are inconsistent with this. The book is entitled Everybody Lies, but as far as I can see, it implies that left-wing people lie more. They are liars, and that is why they become triggered when they are confronted with the truth, when they are confronted with the reality of race, because they know this to be the case deep down. They know it's real. They act like it's real. Everything about their behaviour implies it's real. They even quite enjoy mocking people of different races. But it's a dirty secret that they don't want to admit even to themselves. And if they were asked about it, they wouldn't admit it. And so therefore, if you confront them about it, you're confronting them with the fact that they are less than what they think they are. That they are the sort of idea they have, the notion of themselves as perfect and wonderful is not true. And they react in a very nasty way to this. Interestingly, there is research that I've looked at before, which has found that those who are high in virtue signalling, those that will tend to virtue signal, are also high in narcissistic traits and in Machiavellian traits. Now, what is narcissism? Narcissism is a bloated sense of self, an inflated sense of self, the belief that you are perfect and you are wonderful and you are superior. So the research indicates that people that are extremely left-wing are high in this. Machiavellianism is a desire for power. People who are extremely left-wing are high in this. Why are they high in this? Well, because if you want to get approval, which is what narcissists desperately want, they want approval and to be loved, and the way to do it in the current year is to signal how left-wing you are and to be more left-wing, more woke than the next man. If you want power, then the best way to get it is to be more left-wing than the next man in a kind of arms race of wokeness. So that's why they have those traits. So they're clearly narcissistic. These people believe that they're perfect, but they are, of course, hypocrites. And so if you confront them with their imperfection, then what you're going to get is narcissistic rage, which is that the person that is confronting you it's the narcissistic perfect ideal, which allows you to deal with your low self-esteem, allows you to deal with a sense of emptiness at the heart of your life, allows you to deal with a fundamental feeling that you're not good enough. You deal with it by creating this bubble of narcissistic protection. And if a person punctures that by showing you that actually you're not as good as you think you are, actually you do like racist jokes and whatever, then you can react, or actually race is real and deep down you know that, or whatever, you're not genuine in what you're saying, and you know you're not really, and it's not logical and not reasonable, and therefore you're not logical and not reasonable, and you know it, and you're not perfect, then you can react in this to try and destroy them. Because if you don't destroy them, then you are confronted with what you are, which is really a rather sad, unhappy, maladapted person. And this is narcissistic rage. We know there's studies indicating that the more left-wing people are, the more mentally unstable they are, the higher in anxiety they are. This is clearly associated with being left-wing. And the more left-wing you are, the higher in anxiety you are, the higher in self-doubt, the higher in a fundamental sense of emptiness and that life has no meaning, you are. And the narcissism and the puffing yourself up and saying that you're perfect and better than others is a way of dealing with this. And so if someone criticizes you in such a way as to make you realize, to trigger you, that's why they go on and on about this term triggering. What is triggering, really? It's making them realize that they're less than perfect. It's presenting them with information which they deep down know to be correct, presenting this in a logical fashion and a reasonable fashion so that they can't argue with it, and so that they can't try and so they either have to admit that they're less than perfect because they are not logical, which is terrible, or they have to admit that they're hypocritical and they're lying, which is terrible. And this is what's triggering them, because then the narcissism falls away and they become, the sense of emptiness at the heart of them it manifests. So that's what you're dealing with. And what is then very interesting, another way, is how they actually treat black people. And again, this betokens the fact that they are liars. There was a very interesting study called Self-Presentation and in Interracial Settings, the Competence Downshift of White Liberals by Sidney Dupre, who is black, and Susan Fisk. And what they showed is that there's a sort of a spectrum of the kinds of words that you use. There are words that are associated with competence and intelligence and logic and reason, and there are words that are associated with warmth. It's a little bit like how Simon Baron Cohen showed that at one extreme you have the analytical brain and at the other extreme you have the brain that is associated with empathy. You have this is a spectrum. And it seems to work like that in terms of words. You have words which are systematic words, intelligent words, and words which are to do with empathy and warmth and love. And what was found is that when politicians, left-wing politicians in America, do speeches to a black audience and a white audience, they will change the nature of the speech such that the speech to a black audience is higher in words that relate to warmth and love and empathy, and lower in words that relate to competence and systematizing, whereas the Republican politician does basically the same speech. Another study had people send a hypothetical email to somebody with a white-sounding name and somebody with a black-sounding name, like Lakeisha or something like that, on the same subject. The idea was to send an email about a book club. The sample found that the white liberals, they would change the nature of the email. The white person would have these competence words, whatever, but if it was sent to a black person, they would get rid of those words and they would use words that related to warmth and empathy and whatever. Whereas a person who was right-wing sent the same email, there was basically no difference between the email sent to the black person and sent to the white person. In another one, they had to make an online avatar in which they had to describe themselves. And the words they used to describe themselves were coded according to whether they were competence words or whether they were warmth words. The avatar had to be presented on the one hand to white people and on the other hand to black people. Again, it was found that those that were right-wing used basically the same words, whether they were talking to white people or black people, whereas those that were left-wing used different words, words which were lower in competence and higher in warmth. Now, what this means is that deep down, white liberals believe that, no matter what they might say, they believe that black people are less intelligent than white people, are more childlike than white people, need to be mollycoddled more than white people, and are basically sort of inferior to white people. I mean, that, in terms of their intellectual capacities. That's what white liberals believe. And they express that by their behaviour, by behaving differently in the presence of black people to in the presence of white people. Whereas white people, they may well believe that, but they also have a fundamental ideology which says that you should treat people the same, that you should judge people not according to the colour of their skin, but the honour of their character. Just treat them the same. Treat everybody equally. That's what they say, and that's what they do. And so you again see the raging hypocrisy of the left. Now, a point is that they may not necessarily consciously believe these things about black people. If you were to ask them, they may say it, and they may genuinely believe it, that, oh, yes, equality and all this. But that's not deep down what they really believe. And that's what creates this cognitive dissonance, the difference between what you want to believe, what you want to yourself to believe, what you want to think, what you really try through effortful control to think that you think, and what on some level deep down in the back of your mind you know to be true. And it is that thing in the back of your mind that you know to be true that will motivate your actions. And when you are confronted with somebody who is telling you, look, really, this is what you know to be true, or when you are confronted with information which questions this mask that you've put on, and which shows you that, yeah, what you know to be true really is true, and then, of course, this is very, very uncomfortable. Because the disconnect between what you want to be the case and what is the case and what you know to be the case is made manifest. If somebody says to you, yes, this thing that you're trying not to believe really is logical and reasonable and, you know, it clearly is the case, then the reaction for that is to shun that person, because that makes you into a bad person if you accept that. They are kind of trying to make you into a bad person. They are trying to get the worst angels, the devils of your nature, and bring them out. And so, and that will make you a bad person. And if you are fundamentally insecure, as these people that are left-wing are, if you're high in mental instability and self-doubt and anxiety, then this will make you feel a sense of emptiness and nothing, and that the world doesn't make sense and the sky is going to fall in. And so the result will be this narcissistic rage of various levels of severity, where you try and shut them down. So that's what I thought was fascinating about this book. This book shows in a way that is very difficult otherwise to demonstrate through polls, the total raging hypocrisy of the left. It shouldn't have been called Everybody Lies. It should have been called Everybody Lies, but left-wing people in particular lie. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please feel free to support the show, which you can do through various ways in the box below. Also, remember that the show is on live streams on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon, and goodbye!